we're the ones who need to set those parameters, because no one else around us is going to say, look, it's school holidays. Why don't you take a couple of days off and actually spend time with your children, you know, like quality time, as opposed to sneaking in an hour because they're watching some telly and you're feeling really guilty that you've got the babysitter on.
This is the Juggle Podcast.
If you want a satisfying career and a fulfilling family life, this is the podcast for you.
Join me, Joa Lilovich,
and me, Lucy Dickens,
as we share strategies and insights to help you keep your balls in the air. Hi, everyone. I'm Joa. Welcome back to the Juggle Podcast.
I'm Lucy Dickens. Now, flexible working is one of the most important aspects to successfully managing the juggle. Natalie Goldman is the CEO of Flex Careers, a disruptive online talent matching platform that connects talented people with progressive employers offering flexible work.
Natalie wants to make a difference in the world, and she does this by constantly challenging the norm, innovating and looking for better ways of doing things, connecting and collaborating. We had a really interesting discussion with Natalie about flexible working and all it entails, including how she works flexibly, how flexible working looks at Flex Careers. And she also gave us a number of pieces of advice about how you can make flexible working work for you.
That's a whole lot of flexible in that sentence.
And I think that's what we're all looking for, isn't it, really? A whole lot of flexible.
Some of the key things we discussed that are really standing out for us are her advice around how to make flexible working a success. She puts it down to three things: teamwork, delegation, and trust. And also the importance of what Natalie calls performance energy, which is about setting boundaries and making sure that you don't burn out.
And one of the enablers for all of this is, because it's great to have all of those things, but she clearly pointed out that technology is, these days, a necessity. There is so much technology out there and a lot of it's free. And if you use it, it can just save a whole lot of drama and put things in place a lot quicker.
One of the other things we discussed that is quite topical for me at the moment is use of phrases like working mum and defining us as part-time working mums or full-time working mums and how we feel about that.
And I just love the way we finish up by giving some advice to people who have been out of the workforce for a while and are looking for a new job, but they're really thinking that they don't want to do a standard full-time job. So how can you go about applying for jobs whilst asking for flexibility at a time when you haven't obviously had the ability to build up loyalty with that employer?
I think you'll get a lot out of this interview, so enjoy. Thank you so much for joining us this morning, Natalie.
It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you for having me.
The first question that I'm quite excited to ask you, I know that you post quite often on your social media, or especially on LinkedIn, about where you're working flexibly or how you're working flexibly on each day. So I couldn't not ask you, where are you working from today? Where are you? And if you're working flexibly, how is that looking for you today?
Well, you have caught me working at home today. Mondays and Fridays, I do try to work from home when I can. It is school holidays as well, so there's extra flexibility happening at the moment. And that can look like anything from getting up really early in the morning, doing a few hours before the kidlets awake, then taking them to respective activities or even spending time with them, which I really enjoy doing. Then when they're having their time with friends, whatever, I might log on, do a bit more work, and then nighttime working. So that might be a traditional school day or school holiday. But on a school day, so to speak, I still try to work from home, not because of my kids, but because of my mindset. I find if I'm in the city every day, it's very intense, or I travel a lot. So to work from home, I find very grounding, and I have often less meetings as well. So I actually get through proposals and emails and just get through all that stuff that I need to do and get done.
So important to have some time, clear time, where you set aside for focus on those important things. But you haven't always worked flexibly as you are now, or let alone being a business owner. So what was your background and what was the catalyst that led you to creating Flex Careers?
So, look, yeah, I've had over 20 years experience, mainly in the human resources, learning and development space with an organizational psychology background. So flexibility is something that I've been working at trying to implement at numerous organizations, and set out on my own business before Flex Careers with LaunchPod to focus on female entrepreneurship, because I could see the lack of flexibility, the massive exodus of women, particularly mothers, wanting to set up their own businesses because they couldn't find the flexibility in the corporate sector. However, I wish I had created Flex Careers, but unfortunately I didn't. The two co-founders are John McInnes and Marco Navarro, and IK was brought in as the third founder, I guess, / CEO, but they were the original co-founders, and essentially utilized my network, because their background is bankers, derivatives traders, don't hold it against them. But it was Joel's wife, Emily, who'd been on a career break for 9 years raising their three beautiful daughters, and as a senior HR manager when trying to get back into the workforce was like, well, A, where do I find these flexible jobs? B, when I'm applying for roles that aren't necessarily advertised as flexible, I'm getting pushed back because of my career break. I'm not being looked or judged on my capability. I'm being looked and judged on as a woman who's taken 9 years. So Flex Careers was born out of that 3 years ago, but essentially we've shifted quite dramatically. So flexibility definitely has come a very, very long way. And particularly in the last 2 years, what we've seen as a massive shift is the uncoupling of gender around flexibility, which is something that we've taken on board. So now we're seeing not just mothers who are wanting to work flexibly, which is now the accepted norm, inverted commas, it's fathers and parents who want to work flexibly, carers, so grandparents and aunts and uncles want to help out. But then beyond that, people who don't have children don't want to be excluded from working flexibly, because flexible working actually allows you to bring yourself more to work as a human being, not just as a human capital thing number in a business.
It moves away from that idea of human resources and makes us back to being people.
That's right. So millennials want flexibility. Baby boomers want flexibility. Everybody wants it for very different reasons. So let's not judge the reason behind it. Let's look at how is the commercial imperative going to be impacted by flexible work? What can we offer them? Those kinds of conversations.
So looking at Flex Careers specifically, what does flexible working look like for the people who work with you? How does that work?
Great question. So we have people all over the country, across Australia and New Zealand, and even in our Sydney office, which is head office, which we've got a we actually do have an office in Martin Place. And on Wednesday, that's our office day, where we know everyone in Sydney is going to be in the office, and every other day people can come and go as they need. Most people work part-time. There's a handful of us that work full-time, but the rest are permanent part-timers. And we don't say when and where you need to work. We have a team meeting straight after this at midday. And so it's like the Brady Bunch. We use Zoom like we are, and you literally see all the boxes of everybody. If you have a look at on my LinkedIn feed, you'll actually see a photo of one of them. And it literally looks like the Brady Bunch. There's a whole lot of us on the screen and we talk that way. And, you know, for us, using technology is really important to connect and communicate. So we use Slack, so minimize emails. We use Atlassian products like Jira and Confluence, which is like a wiki style type comms, so that we keep track of all different projects, lodging tickets, compliance issues, managing customers, queries, things like that. And so everything's cloud-based, so you can literally log in from anywhere. I was just in the States recently, and apart from the time difference, I was doing exactly the same thing. So literally we are able to work from anywhere at any time. We don't judge when people choose to work and not to work. We base everything on output. My big issue, however, and I'm really quite strict on this, not just with my team but with myself as well, is something called performance energy. So making sure that people don't burn out, because yes, flexibility is fantastic. You really get to work very broad hours, but A, you need to have strong self-leadership. So you need to have strong parameters around when and where you work. And for me, when I'm with my kids, I don't answer my phone. I don't do my emails. I'm very present with them. Performance energy is also about how do you bring your best energy to work. So for me, I meditate every day. I walk, I do yoga, and up until recently, I've been swimming and doing other physical activity. I try to eat well, drink water. And that to me is part of all of this. But then also knowing when enough is enough, because it's very easy to work way into the night. But how productive are you? So being really aware of where are your peak times, when are your trough times. And I replicate that with my team. I've got a bunch of night owls on my hands. I'm not a night owl. So they're on between sort of like 8 to 1 in the morning and they do amazing work. I very rarely will you see me online at that time. I'm more of a 4 or 5 a.m. kind of till 8 a.m. peak time person, and then through the day. So I'm not going to say to people, you have to be on at a certain time. I let people manage themselves as long as they're reaching their KPIs, of which everyone is, if not stretch targets, and creates a great culture of trust. We've hired adults who've got great capabilities, so why wouldn't I?
This makes me think of some of the pushback that I often hear from employers, particularly in workplaces that I've worked as well.
Mm-hmm.
The need to satisfy client requirements. So yes. A lot of times they will say, well, you know, you can't work part-time or in some other flexible way because the clients require your attention and your response. And that's why we need the job to be done in a particular way. For example, having a bum on a seat in an office. This is kind of two questions here.
Yes.
You've mentioned using technology yourselves in your workplace to enable flexibility. So first of all, how does this work with your clients and the need for clients to be responded to within particular times?
Mm-hmm.
And the second question, is there any other technology that you're using in the office other than what you've already mentioned to enable that?
So the paradigm of what can and can't be done within an organization, the truth is flexibility is not a one-size-fits-all conversation. So what that means is somebody who works in a call center versus someone who's at reception versus someone who's in manufacturing versus someone who's a salesperson. Everybody has very different roles within an organization, and it depends what kind of organization you have. Often there are multi-siloed components, and those cannot be ignored. So the kind of work I just explained with Flex Careers, we're a technology company. We can work from anywhere. And there are a number of organizations that are like that, that have the technology to allow them, but often it's the managers and the organization's mindset that is stopping them from doing that. But the reality is there are certain types of work that still need physical presence. You still need people to turn up or shifts or call centers and a whole range of other industries. So, or retail, for example. So what I say is, and I mentioned this before, commercial purpose is really important when considering the type of flexibility that's required. So even with my team, we have really strict SLAs around customer inquiries. So whether it's a client or a candidate that comes in with a help ticket, we call it service level agreements or KPI or key performance indicators. So some kind of measurable. And essentially, we make sure that we address that help ticket within a 1 hour window. So what that requires is through our Slack, what we use, we have a channel called help/urgent, and we're all on our phones all the time, and we all have access to that. And there are a number of us who can address a number of different issues. So whether it be a technical or a client or those kinds of things. And we all have access to our calendars. So if I have a client who reaches out to me personally via our help desk, saying there's a problem with the technology or something like that, but I'm in meetings and my head of development can see that, I've empowered them to say, you can respond on my behalf, say, look, Natalie's in meetings for the next couple of hours, but I can help you with this. And then they take ownership and manage and deal with it. And truth is, I probably couldn't handle that kind of level of technical support anyway, but as an account manager, I might have been able to then manage it, pass it on to my dev team, but I'm not really even needed. So I've empowered my people to do that.
Sorry, am I hearing here two things? One, teamwork, because these things are coming in, no one person specifically is responsible for answering them, but as a team together, you are. But also delegation. That is one of the most important parts of flexible working, is that delegate the things that you don't have to do or that somebody else can do better than you. I think that's really important. But are those two things, would you say they're both key to how this arrangement works for you?
And one more thing, trust. Trusting in your people that they've got the ability to do what you need them to do and representing you as an individual and your company as well. So those are absolutely priorities to ensuring that you set up the systems to manage that. But I do understand where sometimes clients push back and say, or customers push back and say, look, no, we need to have access. So then sometimes organizations come up with the idea of core hours.
Yes.
So they say between the hours of 9:30 and 4, these are the hours that we need people to be physically present. But if you want to come in early and then leave at 4, or come in at 9:30 and leave late, so different start and finish times, you need to look at your team structure. So are there any other people in your team who can do similar types of jobs? Can you both take on, are there more people that can support, whether it be an internal customer or an external customer's needs? How responsive do you need to be? What commitment have you made to companies or your clients? Is that realistic to say that you'll get back to them within an hour? For us, we've realized that it is. Others, companies say within 12 hours or 24 hours or 6 hours. So there's a whole range of things. So it's not one way or the highway. The challenge of flexible work is not that we're working less. What we're saying is it's about working differently, and that can be very challenging.
Okay, so the key point here then, in terms of looking at the pushback that we get from clients about the need for someone to be sitting in their seat and working standardized hours, for example, is to really just break it down, consider the outputs that are required of that particular job, consider the needs of the clients that are being serviced by that particular organization, and then determine what can actually be done within the budget that the organization has to consider different ways of work. The next thing was going to be, are there any other tech tools that you use to encourage this flexible working, either within Flex Careers or that you think are available generally that you perhaps aren't using?
Using different technologies is really, there's so much available and a lot of it's free, but also from a professional perspective, you can get different packages that allow enterprise style packages. So Zoom, for example, you can either do the free version or the paid version, which is still incredibly affordable. Other organizations that I engage with use Skype for Business, and they link it to their Office 365 and to Link. And so it's all integrated with all of those kinds of things. Messenger, Yammer. My daughter just uploaded Pushbullet onto my Chrome browser so she can message me through the day, which I'm also very happy about, that she's messaging me rather than paying attention in class. Yeah. But it's another way that people can actually communicate with each other. And then from a cloud sharing, so you've got Google Drive, Dropbox, there is another one, OneDrive on Microsoft, all the same kind of stuff, just depends which system you're using. And I mentioned we also utilize the Atlassian tools, so Jira and Confluence, which are really fantastic for what we need in regards to sharing documentation, being able to go back and search notes and information. So everything's registered. We don't have millions of documents flying around our systems. Everything's logged and on there, so I can find things super fast. So things are getting really technologically advanced, where collaboration using cloud-based technology or SaaS type stuff, software as a service, it's becoming standard.
One of the things that comes up in my firm around flexible working is the need for people to be together. And what I mean by that is that often some of our best ideas in terms of business development, they kind of happen over the, you know, the coffee machine, as opposed to in a formal boardroom meeting. I mean, it sounds like Slack might be part of that if people are just having a chat as opposed to sitting down and having a meeting. But have you found that in where you've got far more staff working flexibly than we do, and on much greater scale, how do you deal with those kinds of things?
So we have staged things. So we find our team meetings aren't a rote list of what are you doing, and just we use it as much as possible for brainstorming and problem solving and sharing wins. So we do write notes of what we've been working on and what's coming up, but we use that time to have that kind of a team meeting. That then often creates ideas because of those conversations, where certain people might go off into their own conversations. Again, we use Zoom a lot. So we have these kinds of conversations to have brainstorming sessions, but we do catch up once a quarter face-to-face as well. because we know that that's really important, particularly for those people who work by themselves in their own state and can feel very isolated. And that's a real issue that we're constantly aware of. And Slack can also be a little bit bombarding, because people often do one-liners or respond back, or there's emoji cons that come through, and that's all great for a little bit of banter. But if you're wanting to get a bit more in depth and have a proper conversation, Zoom's great because it's visual, but face-to-face I still think is important, which is why once a quarter the whole team gets together. I travel to most locations on a regular basis and connect in with people as well. So we make sure there's still that face-to-face component as well.
Very important to have face-to-face meetings. There is definitely nothing better than an actual in-person physical meeting, even where you've had a great online relationship for a long time. Mm-hmm. Everyone that I ever speak to always says that their relationship just goes next level as soon as they can be in person with someone.
We want to ask you a few questions specifically around working flexibly as a parent. Mm-hmm. And you've touched on one of these points that we wanted to raise just before when you were talking about being in America. I noticed on your LinkedIn, you had a post about being at the beach with your kids, and they were at the beach and you were on a meeting, I think it was, possibly even via Zoom.
Yeah.
That raises the question for me about boundaries. And you touched on this when you spoke about performance energy and making sure people don't burn out. And, you know, being connected all the time means that for some people, at least, they would have a tendency to just work all the time. Mm. How do you manage boundaries specifically around work and your children, and making sure that you take the time to switch off and be present with
many,
them?
Many, 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 many years, and that's the last 14 years, my big struggle was exactly that. How do I keep up my career and the work that I'm doing and the expectations I put on myself and the expectations I think my managers have of me? Often it's myself who's harder than my managers on myself, and then being there for my kids. And I think the biggest lesson that I've learned, particularly for school holidays, is actually to take time off in the school holidays, because it's very hard to juggle. I mean, if you think about it, a quarter of the year is school holidays. It's a scary fact. So you can't actually take, you know, 3 months off in a year. That's not physically possible. But for example, last Monday, although that was a day that I did take off, it was also a team meeting is every Monday. So I said, okay, I'm not online except for our team meeting. My kids are old enough now. My son's 11. So he was swimming with a friend in a harbour beach. So it's very safe. I could see them. It was a very small beach and they don't need me physically to do anything. It's just to make sure that they're okay. Mm-hmm. So that would be a very rare occasion. But like, for example, this Thursday, I'm taking the day off and we've already made a plan of all the things that we're going to do. And it's good for me. It's good for the kids. And then my team know I'm just not on. If there's anything so super urgent and one of the co-founders or partner can't manage it, there's like we were talking about before, the delegation, if it gets to the point where it's so critical, they will call me. But the chance of that actually happening is very unlikely. And then I now mentally need to switch off and go, I'm not checking my emails. I'm not going to check my Slacks. I'm not going to take calls. I'll put out an out of office. I'll manage expectations of everyone. And then I'll be back online on Friday and the world will keep turning.
Which can be hard to do.
It can be, because it's us usually putting unrealistic expectations on ourselves to say, but no, everything's going to fall apart. Well, actually managing the right expectations of the people around you and the right kind of mechanisms in place, you can actually do it. And in fact, you're better for it as well as are the people around you, because often we're the ones who need to set those parameters, because no one else around us is going to say, look, it's school holidays. Why don't you take a couple of days off and actually spend time with your children, you know, like quality time, as opposed to sneaking in an hour because they're watching some telly and you're feeling really guilty that you've got the babysitter on, or, you know, running around to the shops because you've run out of whatever and you're on a teleconference and the kids are talking in the background and you're like, shh, shh, mummy's on a call.
We've all been there.
Oh my God. I mean, my highlight was when I was cooking dinner and I was on an international phone, like a teleconference, and I had 10 people coming for dinner and then the kids were in the background and I was cooking and phone and da da da. And then when it was my turn to speak, I just said to everyone, okay, 2 minutes silence, turned off the gas stove, turned off the air vent, put the dog in the other room, pressed unmute, talked for 2 minutes, put myself back on mute and then continued cooking, noise, kids, dogs, whatever. And I was listening at the same time and actively participating with one earphone in with the other ear on everyone else. My kids are they're used to me doing that, but that's not sustainable. And that's just not okay to do regularly every now and then. So yeah, we need to find ways to manage our time better as self-leaders, manage the expectations of others. But it's taken me 14 years, so I'm not expecting everyone to suddenly turn around. The benefit though now is the mindset of where we are as a society and an organization, and the maturity of this topic is that it's much more acceptable and women are getting more confidence to push back and go, actually, this isn't working for me. What I'd like to negotiate is this. Let's give it a try and see what happens.
That makes me think about the fact that you've expressed in other kinds of media and in your own posts that you don't like the term working mothers. Neither do we. Because well, I guess we all figure that we're always working and we don't need to necessarily put the word working at the beginning of it. We spend a lot of time trying to think of alternatives, but why don't you like the phrase? And is there something else that you prefer?
Okay, so the reason I don't like the phrase is because historically women cannot just be women. So women are always labeled to be associated as a wife, a sister, an aunt, or a mother, or a working mother. There is always some kind of connotation that being a woman is just not enough and that that's just not okay. So when you look at men, how often are men defined by, obviously you've got, you know, yes, relative type things of like a father, brother, those kinds of things. But when you look at it in a work context, men are never defined by their marital status. They're not defined by whether they've got children or not, whether they've got children and are single now or remarried or whatever. You know, men don't have that paradigm. Women, I'm a single working mother. How often do you hear about a single working father or, you know, those kinds of things? So for me, society needs to define women to box us in to say, okay, you're this kind of person or you're that kind of person. So I just don't like that because I don't want to be boxed into anything because we're all so unique and different. So why do we need to have that definition imposed on us? So yes, I am a single working mother, but that doesn't make me better or worse than one of you. It doesn't mean I'm this or I'm that. It just defines, I guess, my current state of where I'm sitting today. But at the same time, it's something that I don't think women need to be defined by. They should be looked at their capability, their experience, and how fantastic they are, not the fact that they happen to be a mother or whatever their marital status is.
I completely agree with you, completely agree. And I feel very similar about the way that we use the words full-time or part-time to describe our working situation, especially for women and mothers. And I wrote a post about this last week and we had quite a detailed conversation in our Facebook group about the way different people feel about being defined as a full-time worker or a part-time worker. And for me, the main reason is because I don't feel like I fit really into either category. I don't work full-time, but I don't really think I work part-time either. I just work as much as I need to work to get the job done, and that's that. But you know, that doesn't quite fit into a nice little label.
No, it doesn't.
Do you feel similarly about those phrases, or is it just the working mother thing for you?
I don't feel as passionately, I think, about the full-time or part-time, but when you're saying that, what it made me think about is really the changing nature of work. So with the onset of the gig economy, which is essentially, for those who don't know what that term means, is where you get a gig. So it's kind of like consulting, but on the next level. So you look at Airtasker or Elancer, Freelancer. So you basically work for yourself and you do a whole lot of gigs. And that's what the gig economy is. But what more and more people are looking at doing is portfolio careers, where they did what I did, which is where you work permanent part-time and then you set up your own business and you did both. Then you also have people who work numerous part-time roles because it gives them the flexibility to choose how, where, and when they work. But then they have also variety in the kind of work that they do. Then you have entrepreneurs who have multiple businesses and so on. I mean, like the list goes on. So the traditional 9-to-5 full-time, part-time is fast evaporating, which is why flexible working is becoming even more prevalent. because people need to understand that you don't need to be chained into a very boxed in way of working. Mm-hmm. So, you know, now that you're saying it, I'm probably starting to feel more and more passionate about it. I completely agree with you that, yeah, I think any kind of labeling or boxing in is never a good thing. I understand why we do it, because psychologically as human beings, that's what we're wired to do. And that's just a very innate thing because it makes us easier to understand how things
are. And it's a short way of introducing yourself or describing yourself. Another part of it for me is that no one ever asks my husband if he works full-time or part-time, and he works fewer hours than me. Yeah. So that bothers me a lot.
Well, and then that again goes to the whole societal issue of what women do versus what men do and what's expected of men versus women, which is just as bad for men as it is for women. You know, if we were able to take the gender lens off work and family life and what's expected of us, if we look at it from just a human people perspective, and if you're wanting to bring little people into this world, apart from the physical ability to give birth, right, carry a child, give birth, and maybe breastfeed if that's what you choose to do, apart from those three things, men are just as capable of doing every single component of raising a child as a woman is. So you see beautiful single dads doing amazing jobs of nurturing their sons and daughters. You see gay parents doing a beautiful job of it, and so on and so forth. So there is this perception that you need to be an ABC to be able to do EFG. And it's, to me, quite ludicrous. So if we can take gender off the lens, stop boxing people in, and start actually seeing things in a more less binary way, I think everyone will be happier. Men will have less mental health issues because they feel like they need to deal with life in a certain way. Women will feel more empowered and included in our society. It's a win-win. Like, where are we losing out here?
I noticed in reviewing your website and preparing for today that in your profile you specified that you work full-time flexibly. And I was curious to know, leading on from this conversation that we've just had, what was it about your particular role that you felt required the need to mention that it's full-time?
No, I did do it intentionally, but I may revisit it now that we've had this conversation. But the reason I did do that was because there is, and I think I will still keep it up despite our conversation, there is a myth out there that flexible working is just for working mums, which we've now dispelled and we know is not true. But the other myth is that flexible work is part-time.
Yes.
And so I'm making a point that as a CEO who happens to have children and also other interests and a life outside of work, I still work full time, but guess what? I get to do it flexibly. So I can still grow a business and I can grow a business successfully and to take it to the next level and so on and so forth. And I'm in a senior role, but it can be flexible. And so there's two myths I'm busting here. One, that part-time is the only kind of flexible work that there is, when we know there's a whole gamut of flexible working options. But secondly, that senior people can't work flexibly. By saying that, that's what I'm trying to address.
In our previous conversation, we've talked a little bit about flexibility. Well, we've talked a lot really today about flexibility in a current workplace and how you can make arrangements with your employer to change things up a little bit and experiment. What do you suggest for people who haven't got a job yet? I know there's a lot of feeling out there about, I can only apply for, as we've just sort of talked about, part-time jobs, or, you know, I can't apply for full-time jobs because it doesn't fit my lifestyle to work a standard 8 to 5, 5 days a week. So how do I go about applying for these jobs? And at what point in the recruitment process, if at any point, is it appropriate to raise the idea that you'd like to work flexibly?
So it's a great question. Don't limit yourself to just the part-time roles that you see if that's what you're looking for. And part-time can be up to 4 days, mind you. So yes, it's not like we're talking 2 to 3 days. It can be broader than that. Look at it from the perspective, you need to flip things on the head. So go for the roles that you want to do and then negotiate. Because one of the things that's really working in your favor as a candidate is that there's not a lot of candidates out there and not a lot of good candidates. So you need to back yourself. You need to recognize that you have a lot of value to give to that organization. And so you have a position to negotiate. So don't just assume that because it's full-time that they don't have the opportunity to possibly look at it as a 4-day week or even a 3-day week in the office and 1 day from home. If you really have the skill set that can do this role and they are a progressive enough organization, more of them are progressive than you would believe, you need to put it out there. There's a great example of Lion Nathan being approached by two women for one job. It was a transport and logistics senior management role, I think. And basically they applied as one candidate and provided two CVs and said, we want a job, share this role. We think we'd be awesome at it. We met at school. We both have the same background. We think we would be great for it. Can we have an interview? Not only did they have an interview, they redesigned the role. So it was a job share and they got the job.
That's really fantastic.
And people can do that. And we've seen different examples. Now, again, these are examples that are far and few between, but it requires a bit of boldness and courage to do that. So in a more realistic experience, because the chance of you finding exactly the same person as you with your skill set to do a job share is very unlikely, happens, but unlikely. If you find a role where it's a marketing or an HR or an engineering or whatever the type of background that you have in a company, just put it to them and say, yes, I want to put my foot forward. And when you are at the screening stage, so once you get through to the, yes, you've got the experience, now let's talk about the role, then say to them, okay, well, I'd like to negotiate to work a 4-day week. Are you open to that? And if they go, no, why not? Oh, because we haven't really discussed it. Well, why haven't you discussed it? You know, I've got great experience. I'm the right person, those kinds of things. So you can push back. And a lot of times hiring managers just never even think about it. Mm-hmm. And they're like, wow, we like the tenacity. Somebody really wants the job. They've got great experience. We should put them forward. So you'd be surprised how many people get through that way. So there's a lot of things actually going in your favor outside of the paradigm of flexible work to understand, well, what are the motivations of the organization and why would they pick you, and then negotiate and have the courage to negotiate, because more often than not, companies will go, okay, we need to be seen as flexible, so here's our flexibility hire and take it from there.
We just have a couple of outro questions that we like to ask our guests on the show. The first one that we like to ask is, what words do you live by, Natalie? Do you have a personal mantra that gets you through your days?
I have a few. One of my personal favorite is, be yourself because everybody else is taken.
Very cute.
Yeah, because I think for me that really speaks to authenticity. It speaks to having your own voice and just being really true to yourself.
Yeah, that's nice. I like it.
The second question, if you had to boil it down to one piece of advice that you'd give to professionals who are managing the juggle of work and family, what would that one piece of advice be?
Listen to what your needs are and make sure your voice is heard about it, but be really clear on what it is that you need. Don't be swayed by what you see out there as, oh, I need to work from home or I need to do this or do that. Think about what it is you really need to bring your best self to work. And negotiate with your partner if you have one to make that happen. Negotiate with your work to make that happen and be bold. You have to be bold and step out of your comfort zone because change will not just happen easily.
Which ties in really nicely with your mantra about being yourself.
Pretty much.
Good.
It fits everybody. All right. Thank you, Natalie. Thanks so much for giving us your time. We've enjoyed the interview today.
Thank you so much for having me. I've really enjoyed talking to you both.
Thanks for joining us today. You can find out more about Flex Careers at flexcareers.com.au. And if you're interested to follow Natalie's flexible working journey, follow her on LinkedIn. She's there as Natalie Goldman, where she posts photos of all the ways that she works flexibly.
If you enjoyed this episode, then please subscribe to our podcast either in iTunes or wherever you happen to listen to your podcasts. Leave us an honest review and give us a star rating so that it can help other people to find our show.
A special thank you to 3D HR Legal for sponsoring this episode. For all your employment law advice for your business, visit www.3dhrlegal.com.au. Happy juggling.
Bye.